Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome along to the worst idea of all time with me, John Cena.
Guy Montgomery's back, everyone. Welcome to the. I might add some applause.
We applaud ourselves.
Guy Montgomery is back. He's back. He's just touched down today. He's gotten off an international flight. Guy, how in God's name are you?
I'm actually, you know what, Tim, I'm going really good, thanks. Yep. I'm in a particularly good mood.
We all are, mate.
I mean, let's not beat around the bush, but we certainly beat around the bush, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was very thinly veiled. Yeah. Well appreciated that reference.
Well, I mean, there's only one way to really tackle today's watch, Tim, and it was head on.
Yeah, and nobody, it wasn't sober, that's sure.
Really sort of got to grab the bull by the horns and really see where it takes you on this one.
Oh, I feel like we grabbed the horns by the bull in a way.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We were twisting it around.
We really took control today. We said, hey, movie, you're not going to boss us around. How do you like when we boss you around?
Paradigm shifters, that's us. That's what we were doing.
Certainly that's how it felt anyway. I'm good, thank you, Tim. It's good to be back.
Good. It's good to have you back. Yeah. Hey, Guy, can I ask you a question? I ask you a personal question?
Go for it, mate.
What'd you think of the movie, mate?
yeah, not bad, actually. I mean, today, I've got to be honest with all of our listeners, whoever you are.
Who are you, by the way?
Today...
Explain yourself.
Today, Tim and I were very complimentary about pretty much all the actors at one point or another during the film. Like, every main actor, everyone we've cussed out before, at least at one point in the movie, got one of us turning the other one in all genuine emotion and saying, I feel like Kevin James really nailed that line, bro.
But do you know who I was really paying attention to? Patty Schwartz, and Patty Schwartz brought the noise. We'll get onto that later. That's for later. That's a tease, folks. That's what we in the biz call a tease.
That's a good tease. I'd stick around to find out where that leads.
Paint a little picture for you, folks, we're currently in my lounge in my new flat. This is your first time at the flat. What do you think, Guy?
Yeah, you really hit a home run here, Tim. It's a beautiful... It's not a flat, it's a home.
Thank you.
For a start.
Thank you for recognising that.
Wonderfully furnished. I believe my comment when I walked in today was, this is like where a grown-up lives. This is like where they live on Shortland Street.
That is exactly word for word what you said. And you're right. It's like I'm living in an attractive set because I'm not used to living in attractive places.
It's like a well-dressed flat set.
Mm.
I could see Sarah and TK arguing over muesli at that very tabletop.
Had Sarah Potts not died recently, thanks for opening that recently scabbed over wound, bro.
Don't reference that. It'll age the podcast terribly.
God, will it what? Wait a minute. This podcast sucks, though.
No, this is a good podcast.
Okay.
We're burning the club up right now.
All right, if you say so. I'm sorry to bring that negativity into the zone.
That's okay.
I apologize.
You know, I'm radiating so much fucking positive energy right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the worst idea of all time. This is a podcast in which myself and Guy Montgomery, two comedians from New Zealand, have endeavoured to watch the film Grown Ups 2 with a stellar cast and a huge budget. We endeavour to watch that film once a week, every week, for 1 year. So far, we're up to episode number 28, which means we've seen the film now, as of a few minutes ago, 28 times.
Cheers for doing the maths for them, Tim. They might have really struggled with the equation. After you said, we're watching it for a year, this is the 28th week, they're probably going, now, how many times does that mean they've watched it?
What you don't appreciate, guys, is that people tune in and out of stuff like this. So you got to nail the points that you really want to drive home.
And you gave the answer away in the equation.
I know, but sometimes people like tune out, they're like, episode... Blah, 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 you know, in the head, and then I have to really nail what you're
saying. I think what happened is you tuned out during your own thought.
I tuned out to my own thought,
and then
you're
felt
right.
The need to reiterate it.
You did right.
Yeah, and I mean, Tim, sorry, I'm just going to sort of reference the fact that it is the 28th viewing. I feel like between us, this was probably, aside from, I can't actually cite an example, maybe after the 48-hour film festival, we had a very good time watching the movie, but this is certainly one of the top two Grown-Ups 2 movie watching experiences I've had in my life. And I say that as a man who's watched Grown-Ups 2 28 times.
I'm with you on that. And we had minimal guests as well, because usually it's really enjoyable when you have some fresh eyes in the room, as we've talked about in previous episodes. But this time, Ra came in, he had a seat, he joined us briefly, he's my flatmate, and then he had to go to the basketball game within about 40 minutes of turning up.
Do you know why it works so well? Because it's like we're guests for each other, because we've been apart for so long.
Exactly my point.
This is exactly what I was talking about when I said this podcast is going to make us better friends.
So in a relationship, folks, it's important to give each other a little space and independence every now and then, so that
That's
you can
right, Tim.
You can
You're
be
such
your own
a good
person.
Communicator. I fucking love it when you communicate like this.
And so what Guy did is he fucked off to the Northern Hemisphere for a bit, and he's been travelling around Europe as well, you know, if you're a fan
of
the
podcast. But I've
been
in touch with you.
Constant communication.
More than anyone else.
But only about the podcast, interestingly.
That is correct.
So that's happened. And now, Guy, you're back in my life.
I know.
I couldn't be happier about
it. We're side by side. My thigh is touching Tim's wrist.
Yeah, it's because I'm holding the mic. It's shit's intense.
Like, I mean, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, but it's pretty unprofessional recording situation we've got on our hands.
Whatever.
Right.
This is as professional as we've ever done it. I've got a pop shield now.
I do think the sound quality is going to be markedly better on
this.
There's
no way to tell.
Well, if you listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a way to, like what the people are doing right now. But for us recording it right now, there's
no
way to tell.
But whoever's listening to it right now and they're thinking in their head, oh, no, is this better or worse quality than when I listened to episode 27? They'll definitely be thinking, this is way better.
I hope so. I hope the investment's really paid off with the...
How much did that cost you?
What?
The microphone
that will, okay, this thingy that I'm going to use for a lot of things, it cost me, I think it was $250 or $300.
Secondhand?
No.
First hand?
I don't buy tech secondhand, man.
Don't
it's
you?
A rookie. No. You don't buy tech secondhand. There's a lot of shit I'll buy secondhand, but tech isn't among the things.
Why not? Don't you trust anyone?
It's just like, it's probably burnt out and you don't get the warranty and whatnot, you know?
And so, where'd you buy this from? Was it on sale?
No, I don't know. It was on a website.
Oh, nice. Shopping online smart.
It is.
And what about this microphone
this
is popper?
$15, I think.
Secondhand?
No, it was new, but only because I couldn't be bothered searching out a secondhand pop shield to save a dollar. You know?
Right. Well, now we know.
Now we're all up to speed. We're all up to speed on the setup. We're all up to speed on the gear.
And it's about
And for those wondering, it's a Tascam DR40, just so you're aware.
I'd say that comment probably struck a chord with roughly 0.0%.
You started this guy, not me.
1% of our listeners.
Not me. You started this gear conversation. So listen, Guy, we've got so many ideas now. We've just been chatting away as the movie's been progressing, and we've got ideas for new segments, and I would like to kick off the inaugural outing of a new segment which you thought of. I don't want to take the thunder away from you, so please tell us what it is and what it's called.
The segment is called Patty Schwartz Party Time.
And what is it?
Patrick Schwarzenegger, son of Arnold Schwarzenegger, appears in the movie probably maybe four, possibly five times.
Five times too many, if you ask me.
I think it's about right. Anyway, it's just fascinating knowing that it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's son. And the more you watch the movie, the more your eye is drawn towards the action, whatever he's involved with during the... I guess the main reason it's so appealing is because he's not a particularly strong actor. But what he lacks in sort of raw talent, he makes up for in buck-eyed enthusiasm.
It's like when you're at school and you get separate grades for effort and achievement.
Fucking,
you remember that in primary? Yeah, it was like they give you a whatever out of 10 for effort. You get like a 9, but achievement, you get a 6, which means you're a spaz, but you're into it.
He's through the roof on participation. And like, so Patty Schwartz Party Time, is pretty much just the Patrick Schwarzenegger highlight of the film. And I mean, do you think we do one each or we share one?
I think we've got to share one because we have got a lot of viewing left, my friend.
Well, can I do today's?
Please.
So it's when they're at the frat house and Braden Higgins has vandalized it, and Taylor Lautner does what, in my opinion, is probably one of the more inspiring speeches of the film, in which he says, "We are going to find those fart heads and we are going to kill them." Which is a pretty strong juxtaposition between a very light-hearted sort of childish put-down and a pretty serious sort of criminal act.
Yeah.
Probably, arguably, one of the most serious criminal acts there is.
It's that kind of Shakespearean light and shade which really makes the movie work,
in my experience. It's really what, for mine, makes it pop off the page and into your living room. I mean, I've said that probably, I think, in every podcast so far, countless times before, so there's no need to go down that particular train of thought at this juncture. Anyway, in this moment...
Speaking of trains and junctures, we're going to bring that up later as well.
Oh, big time. Love it. Let's talk about with trains.
But sorry, we're going to stay on point.
Schwarzenegger, after Taylor Lautner does the inspiring speech, all the frat boys start going, "Kill! Kill!" kill and they're all chanting kill. And they all start sort of racking each other up and grabbing their shirts and stuff. And
Patrick, just for those of you not in the room, Guy literally just grabbed my shirt as he said there, just to add emphasis.
And Patrick Schwarzenegger looks left and he looks right for someone to interact with, but all of the other actors are taken, so he's left with nothing to do.
Yeah,
but just think on your feet, Paddy. All right, be quick, Paddy. This is Hollywood. Things move fast around here. And so he just starts like fist bumping, like it's 4 a.m. in Ibiza, and he's up to his eyeballs in fucking the cacao bean. And I don't know, it's like a six or 7 second shot.
There's so many moments in this film where Paddy Schwartz is crying out from a little brotherly love from his fellow actors on screen because he doesn't know how to act. So he's like, maybe if I interact with someone else who knows how to act, it'll either rub off or they won't pay as much attention to me. And he gets nothing back, right? He gets cold shoulders. Exactly. A lot of cold shoulders.
Some brick walls out there. For me, that was... Paddy, I don't know how I sang it before.
Paddy Schwartz,
party time.
Paddy Schwartz,
party time.
This is pretty
party
good.
Party time.
We hadn't rehearsed that.
No.
You may be able to tell.
That was off the cuff. Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, Paddy Schwartz is in the film.
And
he can't even act a little bit. Flying away on his daddy's career. He was Terminator.
Now it's party time. Paddy Schwartz, party time.
All right, we should outsource our stings because neither of us can do them. Guy, pull out the notebook because this is the beautiful thing about you being here today. We shared a notebook and we shared notes.
Okay.
And do you want to get into the second regular segment we have in the show, Shining Light Now? Would this be an appropriate time?
No, we'll do another tease.
Okay, very good. Please, like grown-ups do, let's set up a whole lot of threads that don't pay off.
This is what they do on commercial radio. It's called a tease. So after the break,
coming up in the next 15, we've got
Iggy Azalea.
No, you tell me what is coming on the podcast.
Hang on, go again.
You're on the worst idea of all time with old Betty and Monty, and coming up in the next 15,
We've got The Shining Light. What's yours this week, Tim? Actually, don't tell me, save it for later. We've also got a little segment about Helston Sage. Now, you might remember her. She's the actress who's played Nancy Kerrigan. Arbuckle, this whole fake radio show.
No, commit. You never commit enough.
I'm sorry.
It's gone now. It's definitely gone now.
It was close, though.
Mm.
Damn it.
So what do you want to get into if that's not what we're getting into?
On the way home, on the flight, I watched Bad Neighbours, which is a Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron, Dave Franco film.
Is that... Thingy Bob directing it, you know, from Freaks and Geeks?
No, it wasn't Judd Apatow. It was...
Thank you. I like that was the piece of work I picked from his as well.
Yeah, yeah. No.
It's been a long time ago.
I can't remember who it was.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, she's in the movie. I watched it. I thought it was a pretty funny movie. It was quite good fun. There was some high... Like, especially, you know, as always, because I don't watch enough movies at the moment, measuring it against Grown Ups 2, which is the yardstick, came out great. And Helston Sage... who plays the girl who Greg has a crush on in Grown Ups 2.
Probably the only love interest in the movie, actually, if you think about it.
Apart from the wives.
No, but they're not a love interest. They're just a love. You know?
Yeah, I know. What about Bumpty and Chris Rock?
Oh, yeah. No, I beg your pardon. Yep, there is two.
Charlotte, I believe, is her name. Anyway.
You'd think we'd know that by this point, but apparently we don't.
I don't even have a point on this, really. I just saw she was in another movie. I was like, oh, well, good for her. You don't want her to go down with the sinking ship, you know. I want her career to flourish.
Well, that's the thing, because the ballet instructor... Is it ballet? They do say ballet. Yeah, recital. Yeah, it doesn't ballet resemble recital. Any ballet I've seen. But the ballet teacher in this movie, I don't think has done any other films.
Yeah.
Certainly not of this budget.
I've also got another little quibble with the ballet recital.
Please, guys.
But this is like the big school ballet recital that they're building towards for, I assume, the last term of school.
This is it, bro. You've paid your $3,000 for your kid to attend. You've dropped them off. You've picked them up countless times. It's fucked up your day plans. Yeah. But what's it all leading to? The big recital.
They got a sellout. They got a full house in the school assembly hall. I think we're talking about between 500 and 800 parents have come along to watch this ballet recital. And this teacher's been working on it for God knows how long. So the response when she comes out on stage is massive. And she sort of rides around in her leotard with her push-up bra for about 40 seconds.
Good verb. Then rides is accurate.
Then the kids come out. They prance around on there for like 1 minute. The music shifts like tempo once. And that's it.
Well, what do you want to see in your ballet recital?
If I was a parent, I would be ropeable. this is the fruit of the like.
I just want to mention as well that the kid's about 8 years old. Guy is really disappointed with the standard of this recital put on by a bunch of 8 year olds.
It's just this teacher's just parading around out there. Like, it's just, anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, no, but honestly, let's analyze this against the yardstick of what you would want. Let me just ask this.
We've got notes
Guy,
to get through.
Monty, let me just ask this question. What would you like to see? Like, what would you expect? You're a parent in the room.
Okay.
What kind of time frame? How many songs?
We're talking about kids who are probably aged between, I reckon, 5 and 10.
Sure.
Maybe, I'd say 5 and 10.
About that?
5 and 10, like, sort of, I think it's what, 20 to 30, 5 to 10-year-old girls. Practicing ballet twice a week after school, once before it. It's pretty, I assume, like, you know, they've got the outfits. Looks like they've invested a bit of time and money in this. I think it would be reasonable to expect a 10-minute ballet recital.
I was going to say 45, so you've gone under. So,
I guess I'm
with you.
I'm thinking in the realm of the film. 45 is... 45 is not bad.
45 is right for a ballet recital.
It's a lot more than two.
You know, it was a break in between for refreshment. So we're talking in terms of stage time, 35 probably. You know, take a couple of minutes off the beginning and end.
And don't be afraid to throw in a narrative.
Yeah.
Not just like two vaguely synchronized dance routines.
I hear.
And one solo.
Yeah. Look at the great works.
The Nutcracker.
There we go.
Swan Lake.
There we go. Possibly Romeo and Juliet. They all tell stories on the stage.
A beginning, a middle, and end.
What is wrong with a three-act structure in a ballet recital? And I don't care how old they are. We've put a lot of time and money into this.
That's
our kids
right.
have been going to this fucking teacher for so fucking long. And all she does is come out there in this figure-form suit, parades around like a piece of meat for all the dads out there to get their rocks off.
Which, frankly, I found inappropriate.
I found it offensive.
I thought it was a downright outrage.
I'm surprised that the Board of Trustees hasn't stepped in.
I don't know who's working security at this event. We've got a janitor, a non-pervert around the town.
He brought binoculars, for Christ's sake.
He's got binoculars. He's hanging from the rafters, having a wonderful time.
The police force is here. They've clocked out.
Nothing.
They're supposed to be on duty. Do you know what they're doing? They're bloody undressing the ballet teacher with their eyes and making very crass calls.
Jiggling their handcuffs. And in fact, this brings me to a shining light this week, Tim.
Well, I'm glad we've brought it around to some sort of point.
Which is very inappropriate, but I thought it was a very bold display of gag writing from whoever was in charge of the script at this point.
Enlighten
Peter
me.
Dante, the police officer.
Yes.
Inappropriately, completely says, "I want to arrest her for disturbing the peace in my pants." And I tell you what, it's really difficult to put your shining light in right on the back of a massive rant. It sort of undercuts the whole push I was going to go for. But
slightly. But no, I went to bring it in.
I went to the trouble of writing it down.
You did. Look at that. In your own handwriting. I want to arrest her for disturbing the peace.
So
... Beat in my pants.
What was your shining light?
My shining light was Bean's hand miming. So near the end of the film, when we're at the Fader's house for the big bash, which we're all very familiar with at this point, there is a point where Bean, who is Kevin James's son, starts playing, what is that? It's a very famous It's a famous bloody classical tune. I feel embarrassed for not knowing what Tchaikovsky. It is, to be honest. It's not Tchaikovsky. It's earlier than that.
Rams. Is that one?
Could be. It's not. It's
you
a,
know,
yeah,
when you read those... No.
Listen. Listen. Hold on. Let me get this out. So when he... So... Bean, who has been presented throughout the rest of the film as a complete moron, like he can't do math, but for some reason his parents don't step in and correct that decision. They feel it's more important that he feels good about himself, which is a whole other bloody
kettle of fish. Well, that's actually, I think, a point of parenting which Kevin James and his wife haven't opened up for discussion, because it feels like his wife is sort of really trying to support the conversation, but Kevin James is just... He's swanning in, doing gags at his leisure, yeah, and swanning back out.
There's something that me and Guy noticed in this viewing. Sorry, Guy and I noticed in this viewing is that Kevin James basically arrives on the scene to see his wife working with Bean on math.
And Bean
and
is,
just makes
Bean
a
is
gag.
Clearly struggling with the math.
Just calls him out for being an idiot. Donna, his daughter, walks in, calls Donna out for her ridiculous shoes, which she made herself, which would require no small degree of engineering knowledge and a little bit of like electronics.
Then,
a lot of flashing lights and moving parts on
then
it.
His
calls
son,
her
then,
out.
Then his son Bean confidently tries to spell the word confidence. It's pretty bold from Bean. Isn't that a great morning? And Kevin James just once again mercilessly lampoons his own child.
With the line, well, I guess we don't have to pay for college. And it's like, who's he making these gags for? Like, I know he's making them at the expense of his kids, which is great, but the kids are in the room.
Also,
his wife's not on board with this brand of humour.
Also completely undermining like all the work, hard work his wife's putting in, which frankly he isn't doing at all.
This is why we hate Kevin James. This is why we hate Eric Lamonsoff.
These are all true things. Although we did, as I said earlier, we did agree that he put in a really strong performance today on screen.
Well, only in certain parts, which may or may not have had to do with where our refreshment breaks were situated throughout the viewing. But anyway, let me
just
get to my shining light.
And then I've got a point to raise as well.
It was Bean Lamonsoff, Kevin James's son's characters, hand miming on the keyboard as he nailed that classical tune. Because there's a bit that happens in that sequence where he's playing along, it sounds gorgeous, he's nailing it, and then Kevin James goes, don't touch that Bean, you'll break it, and then realises that Bean is a musical genius, and he says, you're a genius, my boy's a genius, beat, fart, burp, sneeze, your dad's also a genius, snaps his fingers, exits stage right. He's at a fucking boozy party with a whole bunch of adults, and he leaves his young son alone at this keyboard.
George just stands at it. He hit his punchline. Said, "That's it from me."
But the thing with George Costanza is that it worked because. And are you thinking of Kramer?
No.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay. But the thing is with both of those characters, I don't know which Seinfeld character you pick, they didn't have dependents, which is why they were able to pull that shit off. Kevin James just bailed on his own son at a party.
He did. I mean, but yeah.
The shining light was the fact that his son really nailed that hand miming, because for ages I thought that he actually could play bass.
It took me a while.
Keyboard.
I started focusing in the last few weeks. I've got two quick points I'd like to raise.
Please.
We are running out of time. First, because we've got the credits up, just randomly paused. We just randomly paused it during REO Speedwagon's fantastic rendition for the 28th time of Live Every Moment, Love Every Day, because before you know it, your precious time slips away. Now, on the cast list, there are two names I'd like to draw your attention to.
Please.
Bikini Girl Daisy, played by Paulina Gretzky.
Bikini Girl... Is she at the top?
Sort of, it's about a third of the way down the
screen. Because I can see Bikini Girl
it's
Savannah.
Not important. Just beneath her.
Bikini Girl Daisy. Yeah, gotcha.
Surely that's relative of Wayne Gretzky. The number of favours that Sandler's bringing in on this movie...
Yeah.
Including the likelihood that...
But is Gretzky a pretty common last name?
I don't know. I tell you what, I feel like this point's losing steam quickly. The other one is just similar. Jared Sandler, one of the frat boys. Definitely some sort of niece.
Nephew
or cousin.
You would have to say.
I think the mission for next week's viewing will be to figure out which one of the frat boys is Jared Sandler. I think it's the guy who's in the... He's in the pink polo shirt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
It could be. I need to watch the movie again because I haven't seen it enough yet to figure out if that's true or not.
If you're wondering who the soap opera sexy twins were, it was Lisa and Lizette Garcia.
Oh, they're the ones in the show within the movie.
Yeah, just at the bottom there. Ice cream house worker, Tanya Akam.
Tanya's our girl.
Tanya's
going to be a guest on the podcast. She's the one who, as you'll remember, gets struck upon the back of the head with an ice cream
stick. While the iron's
cooling off a bit,
like
losing heat.
Because that's a real tease. We've been teasing that for about 20 weeks.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I hear you. But there were valid reasons for why we haven't yet. And the main recent one was the fact that you haven't been here and we didn't want to do any guests while you were away in Europe.
Three-way Skype.
Which, by the way...
Can you imagine editing that?
Whew. Oh, God. Kill me now. Kill me now, mate. Let's be done with it. So, Guy's back on board now, which means we're going to introduce a few guests, podcasts. Guests. That's going to be happening from here on in because it's easy to pull off nowadays. Now that Guy's back. So get ready for Die Hem Words.
Dominic Corey.
Tirata. That's Tirata. Sorry, my flatmate just walked in. You can be a guest on the podcast, eh, bro?
Sweet.
Yep, excellent.
Hey, I'm Guy.
How's it going, Tirata?
Yeah, good to meet you, Tirata.
Hello, podcast.
You have a good day at work?
Good day, mate. Good day. Quite productive. Got a lot done.
It's awesome.
All right.
That's awesome. This feels like a wrap.
Yeah, it's probably it from us.
So this is us reminding... Oh, do you know what I was going to do today, but I had to cancel because we're doing the podcast? I was going to see Housebound again. And if I could recommend one movie to watch this week, it's not Grown Ups 2, it's Housebound.
Nice. All right. I'm Guy Montgomery.
I'm Tim Batt.
This is the worst idea of all time.
Don't watch the movie.
Like us on Facebook.
Oh yeah, Facebook. We're supposed to read the feedback this week. We'll do it next week. Thanks, guys.
Oh, wait, no.
What?
I'm going to tell this. I met a guy.
We've had so many false stops. Okay, much like the film.
Just quickly, I met a guy in Edinburgh. Fuck.
Oh yes, no, you do have to tell the story.
I met a guy in Edinburgh. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. I should look it up on Twitter, but
we'll mention you next week.
Yeah. This is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. I was in Edinburgh watching a show.
Edinburgh, Scotland.
It was a sketch duo called Twins. I was just sitting on a sofa by myself waiting for the show to begin. And this guy, who was like a table over from me, is like, "Hey, you Guy Montgomery? I love the podcast." And I was like, "Oh my God, this is so cool." I played it real coy. I'm sorry about that. I was all butterflies inside. I just didn't want you to think I was a goober. Anyway... I just thought it was amazing.
Can
you believe that?
A fan on the other side of God's green earth came up to you.
I took a photo of him on my disposable camera. So I've got the cameras at the camera shop at the
developers.
When I get the film back, I'll bloody pop it on the Facebook page.
Take yourself in because Guy doesn't remember who you are. But it meant a lot to you in the moment when he met you.
It still means a lot to me now.
So on that glorious high, we'll bid you adieu. A fair evening, great morning, or wonderful afternoon, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. And strap yourself in, because before too long, we'll be looking at episode 29. No. I'm Tim Batt.
Yeah, he sure is.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.